You're listening to DraftKings Network.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. Win. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Beckley, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Today's episode is sponsored by DraftKings. Stay tuned because you'll hear more about DraftKings and all it has to offer throughout the show. DraftKings, the crown is yours.
What a perfect, perfect symbolic ending to LeBron's Laker career. Possibly. Not the loss, just that at the end of the loss, he dominates the landscape by giving a non-answer to a question that is the only non-answer he can give that will result in us talking about LeBron after he's been eliminated and other teams are headed to the second round because the league has been taken over by other people for the first time in a long time. It's a welcome change, but in the short term, it's going to be bad for the league. Not in the long term, but ratings this year, this is not good that all your stars are out and the league has been taken over and the next revolution is here. It, in the long term, it'll be good, but not this year. But before we go any further, Greg Cody damaged his face considerably. I don't know that I've had a friend, maybe Izzy Gutierrez, in my entire life that has had a face as busted up as Greg Cody's looked yesterday. And we have a song to commemorate. You love Jimmy Buffett. You recently saw a memorial concert at the Hollywood Bowl because of how much you love Jimmy Buffett. So I imagine you will love this song.
Tripping up, it's these deck shoes. This is a lovely bruise. Or maybe I fainted. Is a lovely bruise. Yeah, baby, this is a lovely bruise. Yeah, honey, this is a lovely bruise.
Phantom of the Opera mask that you are presently wearing, you bought for how much on Amazon?
I think it was one of those weird numbers, $6.39 or something like that.
Right.
Yeah, but next day delivery, man, shows up in a little package. And when the package has my name on it, it just makes my heart flutter with joy because 99% of the packages we get have my wife's name on it.
It does feel great to get an Amazon package, like to track the package from the warehouse to your house. It's fantastic.
I feel special,
right?
Honestly.
I know.
It's why Bezos is the richest man in the world.
God bless him.
Even after, even after giving up 50% of his stuff.
I mean, I was still reacting to the God bless him part, not the...
Worth every penny of it. Convenience, man.
Mm-hmm.
He's selling convenience.
Look at you.
I'm telling you. And this thing, it's as sturdy as flimsy plastic can possibly be.
That's right.
We will have a reveal in a second here, but let's go back to yesterday because it has healed some since yesterday. Let's look at the picture that we have of Greg Cody that has been now, you know, that's been a day, and you've gotten all the clicks that you wanted from embargoing the information on what happened. You threatened to take Chris Cody out of your will if we took the clicks that you got from revealing how it is your eye got that way. But can you tell us now, for the people who have not heard the Greg Cody Show featuring Greg Cody?
With, yeah.
Fine.
Yeah, it's all over, man. It's all over the country. Well, I took a spill. I took a bad spill, and I face-planted on asphalt.
Oof.
And that's what happened.
Did
and
you feel it coming? Did you
no.
feel
No.
Like you just passed out from one second to the next without feeling like a wooziness or a lightheadedness?
It was a coughing fit. Like he had a coughing fit, so he stepped outside like he does. And
I'm pretty much done the chronic cough thing, but I did have a little bit of a coughing fit just before that. But I was not aware of fainting, of passing out, of falling. You know, 1 minute I'm walking to my car with my heavy bowling bag in my right hand, and the next minute I'm down on the floor, barely conscious, and I say barely conscious because I'm supine and hearing what sounded like disembodied, distant voices hovering over me. And thank God one of them was Christopher's voice.
Hmm.
That's something worth thanking God for. The detail here that was here now that would have been worth giving the clicks to the Greg Cody Show featuring Greg Cody because...
With, yeah.
Fine.
Of yeah. how truly... pathetic a detail it is to have in the middle of this. You walking somewhere with a bag with your bowling ball.
Yes. 14 pounds.
For your...
Wow. Actually, I take that back. 15.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a big one.
That's a big ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. No doubt.
Do a lot of damage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can.
The ball okay?
You know what? The ball's okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
For your weekly bowling match
yeah.
that represents the last vestiges of any athleticism or competitiveness that you still have in your soul.
It's a league bowling thing. Christopher and I, it's a family league. It's Christopher and I, his father-in-law, Michael, and then a family friend. It's a wonder. I look forward to that weekly bowling league like none other.
Dan, that's unfair. Have you seen this man kick field goals? I mean,
thank
that's
you. True.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Steve.
I have, and he hurt himself.
7 years ago.
And he hurt himself.
I mean,
there's nothing you can do to prevent injury.
Right. I know, but that would end his athletic career. I said the last vestiges of his athletic career,
right,
and he comes back with the, let me make a correction here, from 7 years ago when Greg injured himself trying to kick a field goal that ended his athletic career.
Yeah, but he's still out there bowling. Mm-hmm. I mean,
and bowling requires athleticism. Mm-hmm. Believe me.
Yep. Put it on the poll, please, Juju. Does bowling require athleticism? Believe me.
Hell yeah.
Norm Duke. Show.
Yeah. That's right. The Duke.
How'd you bowl that day? I think that the most important question.
How did I bowl? My bowling game is mediocre.
You're about a 150, right?
I am exactly a 150 average. And, you know, I'm capable of bowling a 200. I'm also capable of bowling a 112. You know, so I'm all over the map. Very inconsistent.
Chris Cody, can you please play the Lord song of the last time where we buried Greg Cody's entire career as an athlete?
I've never seen Cody in the flesh, but he sounds like he's 80 years old. I know he's not proud of how he dresses in an 80s shirt and a 70s haircut. But on the show, he's like knuckleball, curveball. I can hit a home run, Kershaw, Verlander. Don't matter who is throwing, I don't care. I'll hit them 400 feet in air. And then Greg Cody's like, I can take D Wade and Bosch on the double team, find the open man, and even if they're guarding me, I don't care. I'm draining threes from everywhere, and I can kick field goals. Like my idol Ford Revis, I'll hit from 50 yards at least. Even though I'm missing PATs, I'm good enough to place wagers and win money from Levitard. And then I'll I think I just bought my quad.
You did actually pull your quad, right?
I did, yeah.
That was an injury that required what doctors care, did it not?
Well, they took me into the trainer's room at St. Thomas Aquinas.
Chris Carter heckled you.
He was
Chris
mocking
Carter
you.
Chris Carter did heckle me, you're
CC,
right.
Yeah.
I've forgotten about that. Nice detail there. But no, that quickly healed.
I'm going to tell the audience, I'm putting all the Heat and Panthers stuff in the local hour. You will find it an hour from now. At the moment, I want to cover some of the stuff from last night.
So local hour is officially an hour from now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hmm.
I'm just, you know.
That's official.
It's been everywhere. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How dare CC mock you? What do you think he bowls now?
All he does is catch touchdowns. I mean,
yeah, that's true. Does he bowl? I don't know. I challenge him. I challenge Chris Carter to a bowl.
Wow,
off.
Wait, hold on. Look straight at the camera and do that. You'll find it.
I challenge him to a bowl off. Well, if you're listening,
wrong
Chris.
Camera.
Here, just hold on a second. Let's see which
he
camera.
He looks so
which,
menacing
which
in
camera?
That.
Yeah,
here,
I think it's in the wooden thing here.
All right, right here. This wooden
that's
thing right
it.
Here.
No.
Go ahead.
There we go. Right there.
Now you talk to Chris Carter so that we can send this to him.
Chris Carter. I want you on a bowling lane. You and me. Man to man.
Wait a minute. Maybe. Wait a minute. That sounds like you've offered to have him, to take him, to desire him on a bowling lane.
I am going to kick his ass on a bowling lane.
Kick.
That's right.
Because it sounded like you wanted him to lay down on the bowling lane.
You got a dirty mind.
Let's try it again, just in case.
Yeah.
Misunderstood.
One more time. CC. Take two.
Yeah.
Chris Carter.
That's
the wrong camera.
Chris Carter, you mocked me when I pulled a hamstring trying to kick field goals at St. Thomas Aquinas, and now I challenge you to a game of bowling. I have no idea why, but I challenge you to a game of bowling, just you and I, $1,000 to the winner.
Whoa!
Wait, what? Who's
Did
fronting
I say that?
Who's fronting that?
Yeah, Dan's going to front me on that.
No.
All he does is throw strikes.
Mr. Meadowlark.
No.
Mr. Meadowlark is going to put up my $1,000 bill.
Huh. Do you guys do the same thing when you hear the name? Well, he called it Fouad Revez. I thought it was, I've always pronounced it Fouad Revez.
Yeah. Same, yes.
Right.
But do you guys go the same place mentally than I do? Because there's only one place I go with the when I hear the name Fouad Revez, and it is not football, field goal kicking, or being good at anything that he was good at that I knew about. It's something he was good at that I didn't know about, which is that the Vikings had a defensive tackle, John Randall, that everyone in the league was kind of scared of. He was terrifying. He would celebrate his sacks by crawling around and pretending to urinate like a dog on the quarterback. And John Randall was a menace in his own locker room. And one day he went after Fouad Revez.
Yes.
Who then ended up putting
tomato
in like a figure.
Do you pronounce the Z? Actually, I think it's just Fouad Revez.
Huh.
Was he French?
I don't know how to pronounce this man's name.
I put a Z on there.
Fouad Revez.
Revez.
Fouad Revez.
Chavez Ravine.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Regardless, John Randall was locked up in the locker room in a way that he had to tap out because the kicker. Oh, you have that story. Excellent. I didn't know you had that story.
I heard on Friday from an informed source that Fouad Revez, the kicker, reduced him to tears in the Vikings locker room. Fouad, true or untrue?
Well, let me say this. It is true to a certain degree. It's true in that he always liked to just jump on people from behind and just give them a hard time. And he did that to me, and being that I was a former wrestler, and I was able just to wrestle my way into putting him into a lock, into a position that he could not get out of until he was able to beg for me to let him go. So needless to say, from that day on, a lot of my buddies just gave him a really hard time.
Begged. Made John Randall
so awesome.
Beg.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you tired of snooty wines and their old world wine culture?
Confused by words like malolactic fermentation? Yeah, we are too. So with 19 Crimes, you can do the fancy schmancy tilt, sip, smell. Ooh, I think it tastes like old red cherry, a little bit of wood and mahogany, a little leather. You can do all that stuff or don't. 19 Crimes is the rebel of wine culture telling stories of rogues and rule breakers who overcame adversities. From convicts banished to Australia to the legendary icon Snoop Dogg himself, 19 Crimes wine is defiant by nature, bold in character, and always uncompromising. 19 Crimes, the official wine of the UFC. Pick up in stores nationwide or online at 19crimes.com. Enjoy responsibly. Copyright 2024, Sonoma, California.
Folks, listen up. I want to talk to you about PXG and their new Black Ops driver. You no longer have to sacrifice distance for accuracy, for forgiveness. Folks, those days are done. You get both of those things with this new driver because I went to one of their PXG locations and I tested it out myself. And my boy Mike over there, if you're in Fort Lauderdale, you got to go to that location. He took care of me there. It was quick. It was efficient. By the time I got into my car, I had my email where my clubs were going to be sent. I have them now. It is a beautiful thing. What an experience. The PXG Black Ops driver is a breakthrough in driver technology. It's complete, total victory in golf club engineering, unlike anything you've ever seen before. It's adjustable to deliver a combined MOI of 10,000. I'm telling you, that is ridiculously high. You got to check it out. The PXG Black Ops driver. You'll be as impressed as I was. Learn more and get free shipping on all the equipment at pxg.com/Dan. Use code Dan at checkout. That's pxg.com/Dan. Code Dan for free shipping on all equipment. pxg.com/Dan. Code Dan.
Don Lebatard.
He called me on my own podcast. He called me full of shit, claiming that I'm faking interest in the solar eclipse.
Well, you do this. You love to just get excited about everything.
Okay, Junior.
Stugatz.
I had to school you and explain to you.
He was going
to
take you to Augusta.
When I was 17 years old, Alan Sherry and I used to haunt the Bueller Planetarium.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
Let's go to last night, Stugatz, because a handful of interesting things happened. During the day, a report comes out that the Lakers are open to drafting Bronny to keep LeBron around.
Funny.
It is funny. He's going to be able to make a decision as the oldest player in the league that gives him options and allows him still to do what he wants to do because still he is somehow his own economy. And then they lose last night to Denver. Denver is a worthy champion, and I would say to you, LeBron James lost last night, but LeBron James doesn't generally deserve to lose. His team is very good. He's still very good. He ran into a champion last night, and the champion finished him because Jamal Murray is now getting into these situations where he's been in enough of these games that he could be the second option that makes the shot because everybody's worried about the other guy. And when I say the other guys, Stugatz, I want to ask the group here. Tom Brady's the standard in all of sports for people had no idea how good he was going to be. How could no one who's an expert at football know that was going to be good? But I think this is the standard in basketball now. This guy in Denver.
Jokic.
Not throughout sports, but in basketball, a guy who made everyone look like a fool because how could you not know that he was this good? How could nobody know that there was a guy who didn't deserve to be drafted in the first round who was going to become as dominant as anyone you've ever seen? And in the game last night, he's the guy you know is going to win. You know his team is going to win because he makes excellence look boring. I'm asking you, Manu Ginobili used to be someone like this who made it the Hall of Fame from the second round. The Spurs were said to be good at this, but I don't think I can find anything in basketball that vaguely resembles close to what do you mean one of the best players ever? Nobody had any idea he was going to be any good. Nobody had any idea that he'd be a starter in the league. Like, how is that even fundamentally possible when you have experts analyzing sports all over the place?
Even the Manu comps, while I see why you go there, it was just a different time in the NBA where it was harder to sign those guys. So Jokic was more of a true eval at his draft spot. It's considering the resources that go into NBA and how just different it is to scout that. You could stack up where he was drafted. It's not quite Tom Brady's sixth round tier, but it's actually pretty close when you consider how much the NBA has developed their scouting arms.
But to Dan's point, this is a second round pick. It's not Dennis Rodman. He has a different skill set. And now that I'm thinking about it, how did every team miss on it? Like the fact that he might turn into one of the great players we've ever seen because that size with that skill set.
Yeah, drafted though, the game was also headed very clearly headed in a different direction, and you could understand how people weren't exactly sure how he'd fit into it. Now he fits into it like a glove.
Well, when you say the sport it was headed in a different way or different place positionless, this part's fascinating to me. The Boston Celtics suffered an injury last night that will end them if he cannot play against the teams in the West, because the four top seeds in the West can all beat the Celtics, but the Celtics are better with Porzingis. But they need Porzingis. They need...
They have Horford.
They have Horford, but they've got a real size problem if they go into the deeper into the postseason and have to face Denver. Have to face Jokic with a size problem. Like, you don't want Harper.
Someone ends up beating the Nuggets. It'd be shocking to me, just given what we've seen recently. No one's really had an answer for him. How do you go about stopping them? I'm asking because I'm genuinely curious, because I don't pay that close attention to the sport to know or even comprehend what the book is on stopping Jokic.
This year's team is actually better than last year's team that won the NBA championship. And the reason I say that, Mike, you and I have talked about this guy for a while, but he's finally coming into his own. Michael Porter Jr. is the reason the Nuggets are a better Dan.
No, I disagree.
He was
with you.
So good last night, and he's been so good all season.
This is where I disagree with you. Okay, Michael Porter was good all of last season, and then was the worst starter in the finals. That team is not as good as it was last year because Bruce Brown and Jeff Green matter, and their bench is light and young. That team isn't as good as it was last year. It is still very good. Minnesota can beat them. Can you guys look up for me the box scores of the last series Minnesota and Denver played against each other last season? Because Minnesota is also a good deal better. And Anthony Edwards is here for stardom. And Rudy Gobert does have the kind of size that somehow doesn't get taken off of the court now in the first round. And Minnesota can absolutely beat Denver. But Denver last night, what they did with Jamal Murray, had LeBron James after the game. I want to play this sound because, Stugatz, this question is so easy to answer if you actually have made your mind up and don't want to create the hysteria that he's going to create by specifically answering it this way. This might be the end of his career. This might be the Laker career. And this might be what it sounds like, because this is what the endings have sounded like every time he leaves.
Tonight, was there any thought at all that, you know, this could have been your last game with the Lakers?
I'm not going to answer that. Appreciate it.
What a perfect final answer.
Well done. Mm. Yeah.
The pause said more than the no comment. The no comment said more.
Little smirk.
There were three things he did there where it's like, yeah, if I'm going to go into my offseason, I'm going to do the move where I neuter some of the criticism on television tomorrow morning by getting them to talk about the transaction and my next stop. I'm going to turn the volume down just a little bit on how much they criticize me for leaving or for losing, because I'm going to titillate them with leaving.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. It's so good. It's such a good move. It's a veteran move by him.
And almost immediately come the leaked reports, the Lakers are open to drafting Bronny and giving LeBron what he wants at this stage in his career. And I got to say, just because you're accomplished and you want to bring your family along, that's kind of whack, no?
Yeah, but it's the ultimate power, like, the ultimate flex.
Just you're long in the tooth. A nice career in your industry, and you insist on bringing a family member around. It's just, I could never.
Mike, he's 40 years old. He's going to be 40 years old. If he could convince an NBA team to draft his son, who has no business being drafted in the first round, that's the ultimate flex.
But Mike's right, though. It's unprofessional. Mike's right. You shouldn't do that.
No one thinks he's as good as you do because you're just related. No one wants to see this.
You're biased just because you love the person. It's not about their qualifications. It's not about merit. That's supposed to be a meritocracy. Sports is supposed to be a meritocracy.
LeBron has talked for 10 years about wanting to play with his child.
Yep.
You shouldn't work.
Tom Izzo played his son.
Father.
I agree. It's nepotism. You know, you shouldn't work with your son.
You got here a little late, Greg. We were already doing that.
It was really more of a barb at Dan.
No, I took it. I absorbed it.
The reverse Nepo.
And then I realized, I saw it was directed at me, but while I did it, I was staring at Chris.
I was like, why am I on the camera right now?
But last night, Stugatz, I'm telling you, the Lakers are good, and he's still good. Like that's.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah, he was really good. He was wonderful. Really good down the stretch. Yep. Going to the cup, getting Aaron Gordon out of position, and taking advantage of that. Going to the line, doing the LeBron things, and you realize that even if it's not Jokic making the buckets on the other end, his presence just absorbs so many bodies out of there that Aaron Gordon can win a one-on-one against LeBron James and rip it away from him. Or he can go up and get it himself and turn a mediocre possession into one that they get 2 to 3 points on. And Jamal Murray's finally... And he's getting healthier and healthier with each passing season. I don't know if he's ever going to be bubble Jamal, but to be he's exactly what they need to be that guy down the
stretch. He wasn't supposed to play yesterday. He was begging him to play. He should have sat out.
Yep, hit the game winner. I have some advice for LeBron James. Me and Greg were talking before the show. I think this is a great final act because, Dan, when you think back at his career and you think about what he's chasing and who he's chasing, and that's Michael Jordan, of course, LeBron has won championships in the South. He has the South covered. He has won in the Midwest. He has Middle America covered. He has won out West with L.A. He has the West Coast covered. Whoever loses between the Knicks and Celtics, okay, in the Eastern Conference Championship is where LeBron goes. Because if he goes to one of those teams, okay, and he helps them win a title, Boston, can you imagine? He wins one in L.A. and one in Boston.
Perfect.
Or the Knicks. Yes. Oh, my goodness. I think people, Dan, he would have the entire country covered, and I think people might start saying that he was better than Michael Jordan.
Yes.
How about that?
Stugatz is right. The king of LeBron, the king of New York.
Yeah,
that's the apex of a mountainous career.
Yeah, I just want to be clear on Stugatz's takes on this because he can be wildly inconsistent. Mm-hmm. You didn't want him on the Knicks when I asked you 6 weeks ago. You flatly stunned me by saying you didn't want him on the Knicks. Hold on.
That was then.
Just hold on. Okay. Yes, that was then. And now, you are saying, I've been saying, meaning you, for the entire time LeBron's been alive, he's not as good as Michael Jordan, but he will be if he comes to my team.
No, not his team per se.
Mm-hmm.
The region.
Well, no.
Region.
Yeah, but yeah. New York.
He said Boston.
No, but Dan's right. I was thinking Knicks. But he has to win one.
That's right.
They have to lose, and he has to win one.
So only winning one for you will make him better.
Winning one for me is like winning 10.
That's right.
Since the dawn of mankind, we've cooked our food over an open flame and debated the best way to grill. One thing not up for debate, grilling and beer always go together. And not just any beer will do. Whether you barbecue Texas style or celebrate Wednesday with burgers and dogs, you need a beer that tastes great and is less filling, so you have more room for food. You need Miller Lite. As you guys may or may not know, I'm a pretty decent cook, especially behind the barbecue. So when I start the fire from my smoker on a hot day, really, the only thing that I have to worry about is what wood I'm going to use. The easiest decision for me is what I'll be drinking. That's a nice ice cold can of Miller Lite. Oh, and by the way, here's a pro tip. It really goes well with brisket. Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, and tastes as great as your barbecue. A perfect companion for grill masters across America. With the Miller Lite in hand, grilling doesn't just taste great, it tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right at your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
Don Lebatard.
All right, we got to go back out there. That was big. Wake him up.
Uh-oh. He doesn't want to be bothered anymore. Now it's getting tense because he didn't need that as a result. He needs something that happens.
He says, Are we bothering you right now?
Turn on your microphone, Greg.
My microphone's on.
Stugatz.
Paint the scene.
The scene is I got to go to work. Good night.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
Pablo Torre is going to be here in a moment. He is tackling a topic on the next Pablo Torre Finds Out that I believe everyone in this room will be interested in. As soon as I present to you the subject matter, I happen to be talking about the thing he's doing in the kitchen with a few of my friends recently. It's a story from 1973 in sports that I would love to happen today.
Wow.
Just to see how people reacted, because I am certain you guys are going to be interested in the subject matter. At some point during the show today, we are going to reveal whatever it is that Greg Cody's face looks like now. He wants us to do it now because he's finding the $6.39 purchase on his face to be uncomfortable. And so he wants to take it off now. Should we just get it over with, because we've got a couple of I'm going to say anticlimactic announcements to make around here today, because Stugatz has botched another thing and he's taking advantage of the fact that nobody is in charge around here anymore, that all of a sudden Mike Ryan has left his position to just snort hockey all the time, and now Stugatz, you know, he ran Witte out of here because Witte was just tired of, loved everything about the job except trying to corral Stugatz. He's going to make Billy fundamentally insane.
I mean, Witte would wake up one morning expecting me to be in studio and I'd be at Shoreline Amphitheater watching Dead and Company.
That's part of the problem. And so last week, because he needed a travel day to get to not Detroit.
Mm-hmm. Detroit-ish. Yeah.
Detroit.
He needed, that would have actually been a better way to do it. Detroit would have been a better way to do it than the way, I know that you did it parenthetically by putting the entire Troy in the way Tony did it, but the way that Greg just said it would have been the way to do it. Just Detroit.
I'm there for you.
Like a faux Detroit.
Funny.
Detroit adjacent. But Stugatz needed 2 days to get to not Detroit.
Yep.
So he had to be out Wednesday's show and Thursday's show. And before leaving Wednesday, he pulls me aside. Me, I'm not the planner, and tells me all the different ways that the book has to be announced last week and reveal the cover, and he's not going to be here and do it last week.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did it last week.
You did?
And now he wants to do it again today, because he says today is the reveal of the book cover, and I just don't think this is the way to make announcements.
You weren't supposed to do it last week. I was just checking on inventory. I was making sure the cover was here. I was making sure the book is here, and it's here. And I was going to make an announcement. And so you weren't supposed to do it last week. Stugatz, but I appreciate that you did it, and you're about to do it again.
Why
How
would,
about that? A little bang for my buck.
Why would I do it last week unless you told me? Like, why would I announce something with the cover and formally and bring it out and do the whole thing if you hadn't told me to do that while you were away? And except you weren't supposed to do it so early. And today was the day we were supposed to announce.
I was waiting for a co-author to be here with me, and I have one in studio. His name is Greg Cody.
Thank you.
Still waiting on your forward, by the way.
It's a great looking book.
Thank you.
And
it is.
That cover is spectacular.
Yeah,
what did you have to pay the league to license the Lombardi Trophy?
We mentioned this last week, Stugatz. We think you have a liability issue here that you don't know about, that you've just done some things that you can't just sell as if it's yours.
I don't know how you got a licensing agreement with the four major sports.
I think the good people at Random House, who have been at this for quite some time, they know what they're doing. I mean, I have a book deal with Random House.
That's true. That would argue the other point then.
Plus, if you look real closely,
if you
look real closely on the football trophy there, it says Lombardi Trophy. Like, they get around it by just slightly misspelling Lombardi.
Detroit.
Which is brilliant.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Vince Lombardi.
Also, that's not scale on the trophies, but that's nitpicking.
You're going to critique the cover?
Well, it's just we all know that Lord Stanley is much larger than the Lombardi Trophy. Now, if you want to make the Lombardi Trophy the same size as Lord Stanley, I'm all for that, but it's just not accurate.
What's the announcement? Is it just what the cover looks like?
So the announcement is now through Thursday, okay? If you go to Stugatzbook.com and you pre-order the book, you're going to get an autographed copy. You're also going to get a special insert, a decal. It's very cool. Instead of a book worm, it's a book snake. How about that?
Oh, that's very clever.
Yep.
If the World Series trophy were the same size as Lord Stanley, it would have impaled somebody by now.
That is true.
You're hung up on this.
It would have poked somebody's eye out. It's just there's a reason why practically it is the size that it is. But for your personal record book, unless in your personal record book all the trophies are all the same size.
Billy had a great idea yesterday, and perhaps, I don't know, I wish I would have done this, but all the people that contributed, Greg Cody being one of them, Mina Kimes, Tim Kirchin, I thank all of them, Stan Van Gundy, Billy wants all their names on the cover of the book, but he wants them in order. Like, the biggest name at the top, the smallest name at the bottom.
Biggest name is in most famous?
Yes.
I suggested to him that he says by Stugatz and then just a series of ands, and they just continue to get smaller as they go down on the front of the book so that it looks like it was by all of, which it was by all of these people.
Yeah.
And then you're also like going to upset whoever it is their name is last.
That's a
the
great
smallest.
Idea. That's a better cover than the one that we're announcing.
Right, well, but that's a nice cover though. Right. Yeah. No one asked, Billy.
Stugatz, that's better than this. Are you sure?
Well, perhaps I'll find a place for it.
A funny joke to go. And are you is the smallest name? Are you going to insult somebody by making the smallest name the most famous name? Like if it said Dan Le Batard as the smallest name or Greg Cody is like, what's the funniest joke to make the final name in the smallest print?
Well, that's what we were working on: is who would be the smallest name. Stugatz decided that he's gonna have Andre Dawson be the smallest name.
He's the MVP of this book. I am telling you. I wrote a chapter about how Andre Dawson has absolutely no reasons to have an MVP. You cannot have an MVP and be in a last place team. You can't do it. And so I called my friend Andre and I told him my take and I asked him to write a rebuttal. And did he ever?
Well,
he took a bat to my head, Dan.
Everything there is true except for the part where Stugatz says I wrote a chapter.
Well, what did you say to Andre Dawson?
They're my takes.
What'd you say to him?
Also the my friend part.
Well, I said, Andre, I need you to do me a favor. I wrote a chapter. It's called.
No. How did you thank him when he sent you that lovely chapter?
Well, I sent him I told him he's not the real MVP. Like I said, you're the MVP of the book, but you're still not the MVP of the National League for the Cubs. That's what I said to him.
Billy, can I know that.
Hawk got right back to me.
I know that we have a long history of Stugatz just doing truly, you know. Shameless.
Felt like Billy was setting him up
for
something
there. For a story
there,
he told me yesterday, which is he said that he told me, like, oh, thanks, Andre. I love this. You did a great job. Also, you still shouldn't be the MVP.
Well, that's what I did. Yes, that's what I just said. I mean, he's not the MVP. I mean, that team won like 47 games.
Hold on. Let me just explain.
Dan, you can't be an MVP in a last place team.
Hold on. Let me explain to the audience.
Write a chapter.
Did you send him a carafe of embalming fluid to thank him?
Let me explain to the audience what just happened. Mike Ryan and Billy are tossing to Stugatz a story that says all over it for everyone to see, hey, Stugatz, be Stugatz and tell the Stugatz story. And yeah. Stugatz forgets how to be that Stugatz because he's too busy being
I'm an author.
This Stugatz, famous author of a book, and getting to the story I was getting to, of all your shameless acts, and there are legions of them. I don't know that there's one that runs through me quite as icky as the idea that I'm pretty sure the only time you talked to Andre Dawson or in any capacity was at my wedding, and that you asked him to do this for no pay while insulting him is just one of the great shameless acts. And now that you will profit off it while not paying him and call him your friend, it's just, it's delightful book snakery. Everybody, go to Stugatzbook.com where you can get all the kind of true stories told by others about Stugatz.
Well, thank you for the great promotion, Dan, and the kind promotion. I appreciate it. He said yes. He did it with a smile on his face, and I've done way worse.
I know, but just...
I mean, Mike Breen was on hold during stupidity while I went over to interview Jake Paul. I mean, he thought my electricity went out.
Jake Paul, minus 180. Against Mike Tyson.
Really?
I've been wanting to bet Tyson.
Big money on Tyson.
Yeah, that line's actually come down. Yeah. Last I saw. But you saw now it's a sanctioned fight, so maybe that changes the math a little
bit. It's a sanctioned heavyweight fight, and I did want to ask you about this because I think it's going to be a giant thing. And I've been fascinated by the stuff Netflix is doing. I don't know when this Tom Brady roast is.
This Sunday.
Yeah.
Belichick's one of the roasters.
Is he really?
Yes.
Belichick is one of the roasters.
Yep. Edelman, Gronkowski. Belichick, I think Drew Bledsoe is in there.
This is okay. So now you're putting some expectations on it for me. I hope they don't patriot it by being.
Belichick to be.
Well, I mean, they're attempting comedy, right? The roast is a great format. I would love to see what Tom Brady is doing with all of his branding the rest of his career. I've told you guys that I'm fascinated. Like, I'm hugely fascinated by the economy of Tom Brady versus LeBron James, Peyton Manning over here. Hey, let's make stuff. I bet you I can do something late in career where I might be able to make more money than I made playing. Let me make stuff. And you know what else I'll make? A whole lot of money, because I'm competing against LeBron and Peyton and all of these guys who are now fighting at the top of sports. These guys, Sugats, it's so fascinating what's happening in this business. These athletes who have stormed it, all of them realizing, wait a minute, I could just use my fame and a microphone, and Paul George has got something on the side where he doesn't need any media ever again for anything, because he's got his own platform and can speak directly to his fans, and he's figured out what Draymond Green has while still playing. Let me go get that money now, because holy shit, there's more money after, as Shaq and Barkley will show you, than there was playing.
The athletes don't need us anymore. We talked about this 10 years ago. But they don't need us.
So the part that's fascinating about the making of stuff, Jake Paul is the younger version of this. He's just made a giant event in boxing. He created that from the sewer. Like, that's all self-made. That's YouTube.
Yeah.
And he's going to fill a football stadium in Dallas fighting someone, and we're going to watch. And boxing has now become, whether you like it or not, it's circus freak town. This is what we want. Not the boxing fan, not the purist. No, the spectacle. And young person, Jake Paul, about 1,000 miserable, questionable things around him, but very little governance, fights Mike Tyson. And people are going to watch it. And I find it interesting. And I've got a very strong chance of being hugely loud wrong. Because I, wanting to believe in 57-year-olds, because I'm almost one of them, might be underestimating that the betting odds are, hey, Jake Paul's young and strong and kind of a good boxer. But I'm like, it's Tyson. Right. I would not fight him at 90. He could be in hospice dragging a dialysis machine, and he will strangle me to death with its cords.
Well, your logic is winning out, because when this line first opened, it was really inflated in Jake Paul's favor. Super inflated.
This is not just some old guy. This is the 57-year-old guy anywhere in the world whose fists I would fear more than anybody's.
Since the dawn of mankind, we've cooked our food over an open flame and debated the best way to grill. One thing not up for debate, grilling and beer always go together. And not just any beer will do. Whether you barbecue Texas style or celebrate Wednesday with burgers and dogs, you need a beer that tastes great and is less filling, so you have more room for food. You need Miller Lite. As you guys may or may not know, I'm a pretty decent cook, especially behind the barbecue. So when I start the fire from my smoker on a hot day, really, the only thing that I have to worry about is what wood I'm going to use. The easiest decision for me is what I'll be drinking. That's a nice ice cold can of Miller Lite. Oh, and by the way, here's a pro tip. It really goes well with brisket. Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, and tastes as great as your barbecue. A perfect companion for grill masters across America. With the Miller Lite in hand, grilling doesn't just taste great, it tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right at your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.